Hi, Sarah.
Hi, this was a nice one.
Yeah, this is great.
It's made me feel good about romance novels.
So today we are recording a special episode. Twin sisters and Fated Mates listeners, Kate and Kara, won the Romance for Haiti auction, which was last fall, I guess late last fall.
A million years ago.
And I know, I was like, we're actually this only 3 or 4 months later, and we're recording it, go us. And we went back and forth with them about possible options, and then they came up with a really fun idea, which is to talk about the role of the break in case of emergency romance and some banter and talk about like which ones we have on our lists. And I think this will be a really fun episode. So welcome to Fated Mates, everyone.
Are you going to introduce yourself or?
No, you go first.
Okay. I'm Sarah McLean. I read romance novels and I write them.
And I'm Jennifer Prokop, a romance reader and editor.
And this was really a fun exercise for me because I realized that I have a number of break in case of emergency books that I probably will never break in case of emergency.
Well, so <You know? laughs> let's talk about what it is first because,
yeah,
I mean, obviously, if you maybe you have or haven't heard it, if you just listen but aren't on social media, you might not be aware with this phrase, but, you know, I think you can all figure it out. But it's those books that you want to read, probably you own, but for whatever reason, they are just waiting on the shelf in case you need it.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing. Here's the truth, you guys. We live in fraught, uncertain times.
Yeah.
And the reality is that there are, you never know. You never know when you're going to get to a point where you have no choice but to reach for something that you just know, like, is going to give you joy and happiness and escape for X number of hours. And so what this means is that you have a collection of books on your shelf, and they are. I mean, like, I own all these books, some of them multiple copies, like, and I know this because I am currently packing up my house. And so we'll take a step back for a second, but I am, we are moving to another house in Brooklyn . And the mover came and stood in my office and was like, "So what's happening here?" And I was like, I don't understand the question, sir. And he was like, are all these books going? And I wanted to be like, sir, if you were standing in a room full of a record collection, would you have asked that person
if what's all these happening records here? Are all these records going?
Exactly. And I was like, and I said, you know, well, I intend to like do a slight purge. Like, you know, I'll go through the piles of piles of books that are on the floor, say, and, you know, try very hard to do a purge. And he was like, but mainly these are all going. And I was like, yes. And he's like, okay. And so you know, he succeeded in making me feel guilty, which you shouldn't allow movers to do, everyone.
No.
You shouldn't allow it, but I did, and I do feel a little guilty about the number of books in my house, although I will say that last night I went over through a shelf of books, and I pulled out 6 books. Like, it was a huge shelf.
And you're like, six of these could go.
And I put them in a box, and I brought them to Eric with, like, a great deal of pride, like a toddler, right? Look. And I was like, here they are. These can go on the street for giveaway. And he looked at me like, are you kidding me right now?
Amazing. That's
but
amazing.
I have aspirations that I will get through more, that I will be able to part with more books. Anyway, point is, I've been going through, I went through my bookshelf that you guys don't all see, but Jen knows, like, sits right behind me and holds all of my, like, first edition romances, like, all the books that blooded me, like, all of the stuff that we've read for the podcast. And, of course, like, that's the shelf that only 6 books came from. But I did discover that I have multiple of these break in case of emergency books, and I did get rid of
the duplicates.
So there was that.
It's funny because I've been on a real journey with, like, my physical books over my lifetime. I used to be very, weird about them. Like, this was on the Rebecca Romney episode. I mentioned that I had, like, all my Sweet Valley highs, and I pretended I was a librarian, and I would only let people borrow them if they promised not to crack the spines. Like, they had to read them. Like, but then we moved around a lot in my 20s and 30s, like, right? Like, we moved from Texas to California, from California to Seattle, from Seattle to Chicago. And, you know, moving books is expensive when you are doing it long distance. Accurate. Essentially, it nets out to, at that point, it was like last time I did it, the guy was like, it's basically $100 a box just in weight. What? Yeah. Right. So I became pretty ruthless, actually, about just like getting rid of books because I was, and you know what the truth is, in a lifetime of getting rid of books, I'm sad about ones from really long time ago, like childhood books.
Yeah, Sweet Valley High.
But realistically, a lot of the books that I got rid of, only a handful of them have I ever really truly like missed enough to replace. I feel like now I'm in a bit of a situation because I'm kind of a collecting romance now. That's what I'm trying to tell myself. And yeah, so it's a little bit different, but it is... Yeah, it's just like, as items, right?
Yeah. Eric and I had a conversation about this exact thing because of actually your Christmas gift, which hasn't actually left our home. Sorry, but it will. And we were talking about, you know, I had bought a collection of items. I won't tell you what kind of items, but I bought a collection of them and I only needed like two or three. I only wanted like two or three.
Right.
And then I looked at them and I was like, well, what are we going to do with these? Because I don't want to put these back on the street. Like, these are not like, put them on the street in Brooklyn. For those of you who don't live in a city, or I don't even know about other cities, but in Brooklyn.
Oh, it's here,
in New York City, right? Like, there's a lot of like, just like.
Leave it outside and someone will take it.
Like, leave it on the curb and someone will. So it's like one man's trash is another man's treasure, right? Like, so routinely, at least once a week, there are like 20 books outside of my house. And within 24 hours, they're gone.
Yeah. Well, in Chicago, there are people who literally, like, go up and down the alleys with the their, like, junker, like, you know, to pick up stuff that can be recycled or whatever. So, yeah, yes, like,
it's free cycling.
Yes.
Like, you just sort of.
Sure.
And, I mean, like, we had, for many years, we had kitchen table chairs that I found in Manhattan and then made my best friend, Megan, carry onto the subway. Because I was like, these are great. These are what we need.
Yeah.
And so we picked up four chairs off the sidewalk and like took the subway with them back to Brooklyn. And they were like somebody's trash in, you know, Washington Square Park. Anyway, point is, there are some books that they are valuable to someone.
Right.
And so we just talked about, he was like, well, maybe it's time for you to set up an eBay account.
Yeah.
For like these books that you know are valuable.
Right.
But don't want to.
But for, yeah, right. You don't need them on your keeper shelf. Right. Exactly.
Because I did come after that Rebecca Romney episode, I came to this point where I was like, I do want to, as you know, like we talked about this, like I want to collect important books, but they have to be important to me.
Yes.
You know, like I don't want, you know,
every love
I don't
swept
need a
ever
first
made.
Edition right. like 50 Shades of Grey. Like, it's just not important to me in the way it is to other people. But I do want a first edition, you know, something else. And so it's a really interesting balance. And I just hope that I know that we and Rebecca have kind of moved a lot of people who listen to us to doing this kind of collecting. And so I sort of love the idea that there will just be a bunch of like Fate of Mates listeners on eBay. Like,
selling each other the same. Yeah. You know what? I love it too. Well, and
I'm for it.
I think the thing too is like also like our Alice, the listener in Canada, sent me this amazing box of old historicals. And for me, it's like maybe these were going to be worth money one day, but I'm also collecting them because I love them. Right?
Yeah.
And I think there's like a big difference. Like one of the things that's really interesting about the break in case of emergency conversation is it intersects with the keeper shelf conversation and also then the reread conversation, right? The comfort read conversation. Because I think they're all really all three of those things exist in romance because of the way romance makes us feel.
Yes. And the overlap between, so we kind of, when we were talking about this episode, I think it's a little bit, the concept for this episode, and who knows what it will turn out to be, but the initial concept of this episode between Jen and me was the idea of what are books we recommend you put on your break in case of emergency shelf, and also what are the books that we have on ours. And what's interesting to me is the overlap of authors on these two lists for me is like almost a circle.
Yes,
right? Like the Venn diagram of these two lists is a circle. And that is because I think that break in case of emergency books are books by authors you already know are going to deliver for you. And so actually, as I'm talking about this, as I'm looking at your face, I'm thinking, well, maybe it doesn't work, right? Like maybe there is no such thing as a you should have this book on your break in case of emergency list.
Right.
Because we're not inside these people's heads.
Sure. Right. It is different for everybody. So I think instead it's just going to be a really interesting conversation about like what it is that we are like holding, right? Like of all the romance cards in the Kindle, on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like why? Because I think the other thing is like it was interesting to me as I was thinking about it. Like for both of us, I think the obvious first thing is it's authors, right? They're authors who I love so much, and they're holding some of those books in mm-hmm. check. But I think there's also like series I love where I'm kind of lagging, and you know,
that's
to finish.
Me too. Right? I've read all but one of this series.
Right.
You know.
Right. And then the other thing though is to think about it in terms of like how you are acquiring books from like BookBub or right like on sale, because I have started, I think I've said this before, I now will only buy books on BookBub that are like, okay, I've been waiting for that book, or this is an author I really like. And I specifically almost entirely think of those as like, okay, one day I'm going to need these, and you know, there's Grace Goodwin on BookBub, and that's like a real predictable, like fun, kind of dirty read. Yep. And so like, but I don't read those the minute I download them. So there's a lot of different strategies for how
I think this is really fascinating.
Make that shelf, yeah.
Because none of my break in case of emergency books are on E.
Interesting.
I mean, they could be. I mean, they are available.
But they're paper books for you.
But I have print copies of each of them because it's like, I don't know, maybe Armageddon will come and then you'll be fucked and I won't be.
Listen, for me, that's my keeper shelf, right? So
yeah,
books that I love, I will also get in print in case one day my Kindle dies, I will still have managed.
Yes. So, So here's the other thing I want to talk about that I think is like somehow wrapped up in this. And that is that romance readers especially have this key, and I think probably other genre readers too feel this way, although I don't know because I don't read those genres. But romance readers especially, it feels like we glom an author, right? Like, we're like, oh my God, I just discovered, I can remember where I was. Like, I can remember laying in my bed in my, like, first apartment in New York City for a full weekend just reading Lisa Kleypas books. Like, I left the house on Friday, or, like, on the way home from work on Friday, I bought every Lisa Kleypas book I could find at the Barnes & Noble, and then I just went home and I, like, did nothing but read Lisa Kleypas books. And so we know what it is, right, to, like, get to the end of a backlist.
Yes.
And say, oh, shit.
Yeah.
There is no more Kleypas until there is more Kleypas, right?
There
is
more
no
Kleypas
more IAD.
Yeah.
Until there's more Kleypas for me too.
Yeah.
But there is, I was not stupid enough to, I was
to really
smart
run,
enough in the
to
end
really
to
run
like,
the course, right.
But but there's no more IAD for us.
Right.
Until there is IAD again. And like that is painful for when you love, I mean, like,
yes.
I know you must also like be deeply pained by the fact that like, we've read them all.
Yes. Well, And I think a related part of the, like, breaking case of emergency is, like, the slowdown, where you're like, oh, shit, I love this. So I can either read it all real fast or I can meter it out.
Savor it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm only going to let myself read one of these a month or whatever.
And also on the reverse, and is the author slowdown, right? Like, I know, right, when I started, and this is true of a lot of us. Look, the truth is that when you start writing, for many of us, you write fast because you have all these stories kind of, like, backed up in you. And then, like, writing gets, in my opinion, gets more difficult as you move forward because you start to see pitfalls. You start to, like, have more intention about what you're trying to do in the text or whatever. And so when that happens, some of us, myself included, slow down, yeah, right? So, like, where I used to be a two-book-a-year person, now I'm a one-book-a-year person, right? And then you end up with, like, somebody like Cressley who, like, it was 3 years, you know.
Yeah, right.
Lisa Kleypas, Julia Quinn, these kind of, like,
bigger breaks,
long-standing authors who are writing, you know, big texts of the genre. They take more time. And so, and now you sort of have this moment where you're like, is there going to be another one? Right? Like, and how
is everyone the last one? Right, exactly.
So, you know, it's interesting because I think about Monroe, for example, and, like, I probably would have break in case of emergency that book.
Yes.
It's not for the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I absolutely, I would have.
Because, like, it's better to know you have one
in case
than it is to not know that you have one coming.
And here's how I would have tricked myself into doing it. I would have said to myself, you can reread Monroe after you reread them all. And so then it becomes a project that I'm rewarding myself for at the end. So in order to fully savor it, I'm going to reread them all, and then I'll read Monroe. And hopefully by the time that happens, whatever comes after, Nyx has arrived.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's really interesting because I think that's another thing that you've done during the pandemic is, like, you've really done a kind of, like, I'm going to reread all of these.
Yes.
I'm going to read them all in audio, or I'm going to do whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there. So I do
not
think.
Not necessarily. Not IID, but, like, you've picked other authors.
Oh, yeah.
You've, like,
absolutely
done the whole. I think the pandemic has been really interesting for breaking case of emergency because I'd be interested in knowing how many people broke the glass.
I did on a couple. I mean, so for example, I would think the one that I explicitly, like, pulled off the shelf and had been sort of saving, and I'm going to look it up to make sure I get the title right because I think it's not what I think it is. I was going to say Night Ranger by Beverly Jenkins, but that is in fact an 80s band. It's Night Hawk.
Night Ranger. Oh, Night Hawk is like... Oh, my God. It's right after Indigo for me. It's
yes,
so good.
And it had been on, like, literally on the breaking case of emergency shelf.
Oh, it's so good.
And one day, and here's the other thing. It wasn't even, like, a plan. It was just like, I need it. Like, I need this right now. And I pulled it off. And I just, like, fell into bed and read. And it was exactly what I needed and exactly what I wanted. I mean, it was it was worth it. You know what I mean? Like, it was so satisfying. But yeah, that's the thing that's hard is it's kind of like, but yeah, it was definitely a pandemic breakdown. I just have to read something I know is going to be amazing. And it was Nighthawk. So I did have a pandemic. I broke the glass.
A place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that question is really interesting too. Because I think I have not done that over the course of the pandemic. And that's not to say that I don't kind of wish I had. But every time I look at this list of books sitting on my shelf, I'm like, but if I read that, then it's gone.
Then it's gone. Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. And so I don't know. Maybe that's bad. Well, no, it's not bad.
Because
I bought them all. So, like, the authors got paid.
Right. Right, exactly.
So maybe that's my PSA is, like, if you have books that are on your list, your breaking case of emergency list, just buy them. Buy them now. Leave them on your shelf or on your Kindle.
Yeah. Well, I think the breaking case of emergency books you have to own them.
Yeah,
in order
they gotta
to qualify.
Be in your hands. All right. So what do you want to do? Do you want to talk? How do you want to do this?
Well, okay. So here's another thing I want to say.
Yeah.
The thing that's weird about telling people you're breaking case of emergency books is they're like, you haven't read blah, blah, blah. And you're
listen, like, listen, I have one on my list that I still haven't decided if I'm going to confess.
See? So I think.
Because I know you are going to like.
No, I mean, but
flip.
But that's probably, I can't, mom, like, tell me. But I think that's the part is it's like you have to understand like the deep respect and love and devotion I have for you if you're on my break in case of emergency list, right? The thing that's also interesting to me is like some of these books have been on for years. And then I think it'll be interesting to talk about have any like newly come on the list. So I am surprised by just how many of these books are historicals.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk about that because mine too. Almost all, with the exception of one person, these are all historicals. And that for me, it has to be because the historicals are where I began.
Yes, exactly. Like it's like comfort food.
Yeah.
It's like the way people feel about macaroni and cheese or mashed potatoes or whatever.
Like there are, what's interesting is there are books that I have not read by contemporary authors who I love.
Yeah.
And I have, and I own those too. But I would not say, like, but
they
like
don't feel
at
this
any
way.
Point, I could look at a shelf and be like, oh, I'm going to read this book that I've never read before. It's not a urgent, it's not, it doesn't feel like, oh, well, if I read that, then what if I need it in the future?
For me, there's like kind of two levels of breaking case of emergency. Like there's like the real, like I'm saving these explicitly for my Nighthawk moment where I'm like, I just need something right now and I know it's going to be great. And then there's more of a like, okay, I'm creating a list of things I know I will enjoy when I just like need something like that, right? So I put like Grace Goodwin in that pile. Like I backpile them because I know I'm going to want to read them at some point. They're on sale BookBub for 99 cents that day. Great.
Well, there's a difference, right? Because it's like the difference between a breaking case of emergency is not a TBR.
Yes.
It's a different thing.
I feel like we've captured that, but now I'm still like trying to okay, so I'm going to start. I'll start by talking about some books on my breaking case of emergency. So there's quite a bit of Clapis on mine.
Oh, mine too.
I have not read any of the Hathaways after.
I knew that.
After Cam, whatever his book was.
Yeah.
And I just, Sarah.
I know. And someday you will, and it'll be a great joy to text with you during them.
Here's the thing. I own a couple of them on E. I don't actually have these in paper, but whatever one is about Kev.
Yeah.
I actually.
That's Kate Claiborne's
favorite. That's Kate's favorite. I was like, I think I'm ready. And I downloaded it from the library.
And you're like, no.
And then I was like, no.
I can't do it.
I can't do it. I'm not.
Buy that book, Jen. You can't download that from the library.
I know. But I was like, I'm not ready yet. I still need to know this is here.
Exactly. I think that's great. That's really good. So, I mean, should we just do Clapis?
Sure. We'll just do a little.
Fall over.
What have you not read?
Because I've been faking it for a long time.
Is it Winterborn?
It's Winterborn.
Yeah. That's okay. You keep that, girl. It is so good. You're going to need that one day.
Listen, here's my thing. Lisa Clapis writes a hero like nobody else in the whole wide world. And I know that Winterborn is that hero that she just nails every time. And I can't do it. Every time I open it, I'm like, I can't do it.
You can't do it. You're not ready.
So it's Winterborn, but I also have two other Clapises that I haven't read.
Tell me.
And these are ones that I had to buy on eBay because many people do not know. Because it's not on her website.
Yes.
She wrote two historical romances for Berkeley way back in the day. They're called Where Passion Leads and Forever My Love. And basically, you can't find them. And if you do find them, they are very expensive. I mean, like,
yeah.
I'm kind of embarrassed by how much money I paid for one of them.
Listen, that's not anything we're going to talk about right now, by the way. That's whoosh.
So I have both of those as well. Old school, like,
yeah. Oh, you know, I bet like the print is tiny.
Cover. You know, you're what, you guys, we'll put the cover.
A magnifying glass to read it.
We should take this moment to point out that Eric has been taking putting high resolution photographs of all of the like Trailblazer books that we've been talking about and everything else on the website. And we'll put links and show notes to that page, which I don't think is actually linked on the main page. Like, I think it's like a separate.
It's kind of hidden. Yeah.
It's kind of a hidden thing, but it's for posterity. And we'll put we'll put these two books in, look at the photo array, and we'll make sure that they get there. So I have three, and one of them is Winterborn, and
that's a good one.
Look, I know, and it's on my shelf.
Have you read Cold Hearted Rake?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've read all the other ones.
That's amazing.
I just haven't read Winterborn.
Listen, you are going to need that one day.
You know why? And this is the thing: is I think also there's another series on my list, and part of it's I don't know when Winterborn came out. Like, I would have to look at the pub date, but. It had to have come out during, like, at a time when I couldn't immediately read it.
Right. Right.
And so, like, it didn't – it arrived at my house because I pre-order everything in print from Lisa. And I put it on a shelf. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I just never got to it. And by the time I would have gotten to it, it was so clear from the whole world that it was, like, a perfect book.
Yeah.
That I was like, I'm not going to read this right now.
Sure.
But also, like, the lead up in Cold Hearted Rake to the two of them is so perfect that, like, I know I'm going to love it. So.
Yeah. Just save it. Oh, I'm so happy for you that
you have
that.
And then one day, you guys, you're going to be on Twitter or Instagram and you're going to see that I've begun and you can all watch.
Nice. Nice. All right. Okay. I like it. The Arclapis. Okay.
But I feel like I could confess that because you confessed the Hathaways, and that feels like also a book, like books you should have read. So it's
sure.
Good. Okay.
I also, you know what's funny? I don't know that I've read all the Bow Street Runners either. So I think I've read one of them maybe, but not all of them. But I'm just like, one day I'm going to need those.
Yeah. I mean, listen, so this is both. It's both. If you have never read, so here's the thing. Maybe. This isn't so much these should be on your break in case of emergency lists. Maybe the question here is maybe what we're doing is we're also saying to you, like, hey, these should be on your TBRs. Like, put these, bring, if you have any interest in these books, bring them right up to the top of the pile because we love these books. And so for me, you know, the Ravenels, the Wallflowers, obviously Dreaming of You, you know, Jen and I.
Oh, yeah.
We advocate everyone reading that at least once a year, February 4th. And,
Sarah, I love books about pirates.
Same.
I really honestly, like, again, I think that's just, like, formative, right? When I think about, like, Julie Garwood's, like, The Prize, right?
Sure.
So some of the things on my, like, my Breaking Case for Emergency shelf are really, again, like, as soon as I thought about it, I was like, oh, of course it makes sense. It's, like, the stuff that I, like, imprinted on. So I have a couple pirate books in the waiting pool. One is, again, Destiny's Captive by Bev.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Because I was like, well, I love a pirate book and I might need that one day. The second pirate book in Cressley's.
That's on mine too. I haven't read that one either.
Yeah. And we read the first one for the podcast.
We read A Captain of All Pleasures.
Yes. And I was like, okay, should I go ahead and like read the next one? And then I was like, no, I shouldn't. I should just.
No, the problem with Cressley at this point is like, you never know.
You gotta. Absolutely.
You have to parse them out.
You have to save them for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny is I would have also. Now, I definitely had read Gentle Rogue, but I think part of it is like what made me like bring back like the oh shit, I love pirate romances. So those two books.
Men on Boats
are definitely two that are like on my break in case of emergency, but for like a real specific, very deep in my psyche moment. The pirate romance.
I like it. I'm for it. So I'm going to just, I have not read any of Cressley's YA novels either.
Me neither. I don't think I will. They're in present tense. Sorry.
All right. Well, I don't care about that.
I know you don't.
And And so I have those here too. Because I feel like at some point, like if I'm really desperate, I can do that.
Well, I still have Cressley's historicals that if you deceive, if you dare, those.
Oh, the McCarrick brothers.
The McCarrick brothers are, no,
I've read
are
all
my.
Those, unfortunately. I found them all in a used bookstore in Paso Robles, California, which we've talked about.
Yes.
The
book page? No.
No, it begins with an S. Damn it. Anyway, we'll put it in show notes. I talked about it on our holiday episode. And so I bought them all and read them all. I was on vacation with my in-laws, which was a real joy. But we got to talk about Lorraine Heath, because I know I'm like a Lorraine Heath evangelist. Like, I know Sarah. You all are tired of hearing me talk about Lorraine Heath, but like.
Sarah, I've never read the Gorilla Brothers. Because
Now you don't even know what it's called, to be honest.
I don't know what it's called. It's called The Gorilla Brothers, and
The Earl Takes All.
And it is on the Breaking Case for Emergency, or until we talk about it on the podcast list, I guess.
It's a fucking delight is what it is. So that's part of why I love Lorraine Heath so much, because I feel like, I mean, talk about somebody who takes the finger every damn time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have read basically everything Lorraine has ever written, with the exception of I had a moment, again, in the middle of her Sins for All Seasons series, where I think I had, like, a true panic moment of, like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
If I continue to read Lorraine Heath at the speed at which I read Lorraine Heath, I'm going to run out of Lorraine Heath's at some point. So I have four books from the Sins for All Seasons series in Under Glass.
Interesting. And which ones are those? I'm looking at it now. Oh, Beyond Scandal and Desire, When a Duke Loves a Woman. Oh, yep. I've read one. I've read The Earl Takes a Fancy, I think. Those are pretty recent. Oh, so this was like you.
This is recent. This recently. Is me shoring up, like making sure that it's like me filling the bunker. Some people have like large blocks of Velveeta cheese.
We have. I've large got Lorraine Heath novels. You know what else is, it's okay, so. Obviously, the Gorilla Brothers are on my Lorraine Heath, but also when we
if you're gonna, it's Gorilla Twins, Jeff.
Oh, sorry. What did I call them? Gorilla Brothers. Gorilla Brothers, Gorilla Twins, whatever. Listen.
I mean, the proper name for that book is Gorilla Twins.
So here's another break case for emergency for me. When we read Waking Up with the Duke back in Books That Blooded Us, I bought the first two in that series. Passions of a Wicked Earl and Pleasures of a Notorious Gentleman, and immediately put them in the
bunker.
Put them in the bunker. In the bunker. God, I would like Mr. Reed's romance to be like, what are we supposed to eat down here? And I'd be like, what?
Paper. But not before I've read them.
the London's Greatest Lover series, book one and two, are in the bunker for me.
I have one contemporary series on my list.
Okay.
And it will not surprise you that it is by Naima Simone.
Fair. Yes.
And they are, these books, actually, I lied because I do have these only in E, but I think it's because they are only available in E. If they were available in something else, then I would. Then I would buy them in print. And that is her entire Secrets and Sins series, which is named. It's like, they're all like angel names because, you know, I love an angel. Like, I love a fucking angel allegory. So they're like Gabriel and Raphael and some other weird angel names. It works out great for me.
I don't even know if I've heard of those.
They're like, I think they're darker. Okay. But I mean, I don't think they're like dark, but I think they're like darker and they're, I don't know what they're about because I haven't read them.
You're like, I won't even do it. You know what is really funny is you said angels. Here is something on my list, which is Nalini Singh's Guild Hunter series, which is
interesting.
All about angels. The first one's called Angel's Blood, and then there's Archangel's Kiss, and there's like 8 or 10 of these by now. And that entire series
This is really smart.
In the bunker
for me. Like a whole series.
A whole series. I don't own them because I fear that I would, right? And I'm on slowdown mode with Psy Changelings. I've only probably read the first 12.
Yeah. Well, this is how I feel about, like, Black Dagger Brotherhood. Like, I feel like if I ever really were in, like, a pinch.
Sure.
I could always pick that back up again.
Now, I do have a bunch of those in print because I bought them all on Book Outlet. And Book Outlet, it's like free shipping if you spend $35 or more. And meanwhile, Book Outlet is like organization, lol. So you really have to like spend some time just like paging through like all of what they have. But you can get great deals on things that have essentially been remaindered but not destroyed at Book Outlet.
Yeah.
So I actually have quite a few of the later series, like when she starts bringing back and revisiting old characters. And the only one I read was actually The Beast because it was Lover, Rage, and Mary Part 2.
Lover, Rage, and Mary. That's one of our favorites.
Oh, it's so good. So, yeah.
For those of you who are not with us when we did the Black Dagger Brotherhood episode, you should know that we just refer to all the books as lover, hero, heroine.
Sure.
Lover, main character.
Because, honestly, after Dark Lover, like, you have no chance. Lover, Eternal, like, you're like, no.
It's too many. It's too many lovers. It's too many.
So much easier. So much easier.
Yep.
So, yeah, Nalini's Guild Hunter books, because I also love an angel. And so, yeah.
Listen, I do. I love an angel. I'm not ashamed to say it. I love. At one point, I started writing the Casino series. Mm-hmm. They were all supposed to have angel names. And then I changed my mind. I don't know why.
Well, it happens. You know what's interesting, though, about this is it's funny because, okay, in a few weeks, everybody, a little preview, we're having Sarah J. Maas on the podcast.
Oh,
haha. And we were like throwing around
big time now.
We were throwing around topic ideas and we came up with a cool one. But my second idea was to talk about angels because
what's interesting, though? Angel romances, like actual literal angels, that's tough.
For many reasons.
You know, there is in one of those awesome old pocket holiday romance anthologies, there is a short story by Annette Lamb, I think it's by Annette Lamb, who unfortunately, I think she may have died.
Mm.
But she was one of my favorites back in the day. And she wrote a book, it's set in the Gilded Age. And this novella is, and the hero is an angel who is trying to get back into heaven.
I like that.
Instead, he falls in love. No, wait. Maybe she's the angel and trying to get back. One of them is trying to get back into heaven. Yeah, she's the angel and trying to get back into heaven. And he's like a crusty, like, I don't know, robber baron.
Amazing.
I love it. Amazing. Anyway, we'll put that in show notes too, because, you know, banter.
Banter, exactly.
Okay, so the other one is more recent. I mean, like, obviously the Since We're All Seasons books are more recent, but Lorraine has been a part of my life for a long time. But recently, within the last few years, I discovered, like many others, Diana Quincy,
mm-hmm.
who I think writes a fucking fantastic historical. And so when I discovered her, she was already writing a later series. I think she's written four historical series. And I have not read her first series, which is called the Accidental Peers series. And so those books are all
okay. So what's interesting, because we were talking about, like, they really are mostly historical for me. Like,
yes.
I said, I feel like that is really because of
it's comfort.
But I think the contemporary authors who are in the vault for me are like people that I it's a book in a series I love that I haven't read yet. So for example, everyone knows I love the Stage Dives series by Kylie Scott, and there is a new novella. Haven't read it yet. It's in the vault. Those are short too, so that's just like an afternoon of reading when I finally get there. But like, I just can't bring myself to do it yet.
Well, it's interesting that you say this because I mean, Kylie's a good example of somebody who, like, I need to be better about that because anytime she has something out, like, I read it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Brill Harper, London Hale, like,
same.
All the people that, like, we've talked to, those, like, the people that we put on the, Kylie's not one of those people, but we did the sort of, Fast and Dirty episode. And those books I wish I had vaulted, yeah. But also I don't feel like I have the, I feel like I would have pulled them out of the vault. Why is that? More quickly.
I do.
Is it because they're not contemporary, they're not historicals? I don't know.
I also wonder, I do think they're sort of a, like once something, the longer something has been in the vault, the harder it is to pull it out of the vault.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because you're like, then I won't have it anymore.
Then I won't have it.
A little bit of a security blanket.
Yes. Where things that go into the vault pretty quickly, I think, can come out. Also, here's the other thing. Kylie Scott is still actively producing books at a rate that I enjoy.
At a quick pace.
Thank you, Kylie. We love you. Right? So I also think there's a little less of that fear.
London Hale was putting them out all the time and then bam. Suddenly disappeared.
I know.
God, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
What we need is people to like, we need a central location for people to announce that they are no longer writing books so that we can immediately vault some books.
Yes, you're like, wait, that was up next. Now, okay.
Report back, you guys. Those of you who are writers, like, would it be okay if we opened a P.O. box?
Listen, just we'll take care of it.
And you just said, it just maybe we could keep it secret. It could just be between us.
No one else needs to know. Wait,
I have no intention of ever writing another romance novel again. And then, boom, we vault everything.
Everything's in the vault. Everything. Okay, I have vaulted an entire series by Tessa Bailey.
Oh, that's a good idea. But there's another person who writes like 83 books a year.
Sure. So. But listen, I'm all caught up except with the Broken Beautiful series. That's Chase Me, Need Me, and Make Me. I have never read them. And I have had those moments where I'm like, maybe I need to break into the vault on those. And I...
No. And then Tessa releases a new book and you're like, oh, and I'm like,
okay,
to.
I don't need to. The vault can stay safe. Keep it safe in the vault. I also have, okay, I'm back on historicals. I have some K.J. Charles books in the vault. Now, again, K.J. has a pretty big backlist, I think.
Yeah.
But I feel like what I've done is vaulted, again, like particular series rather than particular books. So, for example, The Will Darling Adventures, which I think is her newest series, and I think she literally just finished it, vaulted all of them. Because I just was like, I'm going to need these one day. And there's like four or five of them. But she also writes they're not novellas, but they aren't as long. So yeah, I vaulted an entire K.J. Charles series.
It was also, it made me a little bit sad when I was thinking about this morning, this episode, because we joked about it. Like, you have to tell us if you're not writing anymore so that we can vault some books. But like, you know, for me, a lot of those like old school writers, the ones who like I cut my teeth on, you know, like what I would not give for a McNaught, I haven't read. You know, I wish that there was like an old school Sandra Brown historical I hadn't read.
Yeah.
Just one that I could say, you know, set that aside.
I don't even know if I could put a number on how many romances I've read in my life. Thousands of them.
Oh,
thousands, tens of thousands, right? Tens of,
yeah.
Who knows? Billions. Why not?
No, I calculated it once, like on the back of an envelope. And,
yeah.
And this was a few years ago. And I was like, oh, I'm probably close to 10,000.
It has to be, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I will say is, it's not quite the same, but I have been ordering like old love swaps by my favorite authors. And these are books like I know that I have read.
Yeah, but you don't remember.
But I don't remember them at all. And then when I reread them, it's like seeing an old friend. You know, it's like you ran into somebody from college at the coffee shop and you sit down and have a great hour with them.
Yeah.
So I have been finding myself, it feels like a very similar type of
feeling,
right? Where I'm like, I have these. They are there for me in case I need them. And that's a pretty great feeling.
Well, and there's some, you're right. It does bump up against, it's sort of the other side of the coin from the books that you reread. The comfort read, right? The I will always go back to Texas, Chase, right? Like always. And so you have a moment. I mean, the sad thing is like somewhere in that vault, there might be a comfort read, but I will never know. But when somebody's like, Sarah, you're going to a desert island, what books do you take? I know what shelf I'm bringing. And it's not anything I've brought before. It's this whole case. Yeah, of,
it's it. Right.
With the fingers crossed, something in there is as good as I've imagined it to be.
Well, but that's a part where it's really like, I hear, like, so back to Nighthawk. It was delightful. I'm so glad I read it. So now I'm like, should I, like, meter myself out, make myself read a comfort read every year?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, you could die, too.
Grim but true, Sarah.
I mean, I'm just here to tell the truth,
Grim Jen. But true. Yikes on bikes.
It's tricky, but here's what I want. I just had this thought. We are going to run, you know, sometimes we run like little quizzes and stuff on the main page of the website. Here's what I would really love. I'd love for all of you to go to fadedmates.net, click on whatever it says. Is. Whatever it says. I don't know what it
the
says.
The vault.
Yeah, the vault. What's in your vault? And tell us what your break in case of emergency books are.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious, like, oh, and what I would really love, we'll make it like a, you know, a, It will. You'll be able to write however much you want to us. But tell us also, like, do you feel like it's these books are books by authors that you have right. loved? Like, from what the very makes start? It? Are they all contemporaries because you started reading contemporaries first? Are you saving an IAD book? Like, tell us what's in the vault and why, and we will figure out a way to share some of them on Instagram and Twitter so that people can
yeah see hear about it. So yeah. Here's the question.
Maybe we'll create, maybe Kelly would create us a What's in the Vault Instagram.
I'm sure she probably
thingy.
Would. Here's a question for you. Have you ever read anything that was in the vault and it was a disappointment? I mean, you don't have to name the name. That's not who we are, but.
That's a good question. I think every time I've read something from the vault, it's been like a joy because. Like, as we've said, they're all yeah. there's nothing in the vault that is by somebody who I don't trust and love and know writes a great book. So there's always that, right? Like a conversation with an old friend where you like.
So just having it was great, even if it wasn't the best.
Exactly. The voice is the voice. But certainly now in 2022, reading books that were vaulted from the 80s and 90s.
Sure.
Is a different experience. Like, even now, what's interesting about this is sort of a worthy conversation because I think I'm more willing, and tell me if you feel this way too, I think I'm more willing to forgive the ancient morals of mm-hmm. these books if I read them when I was young and
oh, absolutely.
Internalize them when I was young and remember them fondly.
Yes.
Than I am. If I go to them now and go, like,
yeah,
you know, one of my very, very, very favorite, like, return to it all the time books is an old school historical that I would never publicly recommend anybody start reading right now in 2022 because there's so much in it that's problematic. But, like, I'm able to kind of, like, close my eyes to those, I skip right over them, right? Those bits. And now I think that's harder. I think that's probably where I get.
Yeah, right. A little scared almost. Like maybe they need to stay in the vault at some point.
Yeah.
Although I think for me, what's interesting is I obviously have been a romance reader my entire life, but to me, there's like sort of pre-Kindle me and post-Kindle me. And what I mean by that is there are books that you've at like, you know, have, people have mentioned or whatever. And I've been like, oh, I've never read that. And then I go to my Amazon account and I bought it and read it in 2001.
Right.
Right. And you're like, I mean, Amazon is essentially now like my book memory in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I read that book, but it, you know, when you read however many thousands of books, they can't all stick. But the ones that have, for sure, there are ones that they're like keeper books that I would be embarrassed to tell people about.
Exactly. And I think that that's fascinating.
But like they're grandfathered into my brain. And I can read them and be like, this is a problem, but I still love these characters.
Exactly. And I think it's a hard thing because, of course, like now if we opened a book that was published today and had any of that content in it, we'd be like, this is trash and like out the window. I don't know. This is one of those tricky things. Like not everything is black and white. There's nuance in all things. And like this is one of those situations where, you know, you go back to the books that made you a reader.
Yeah.
And now what I like about that is being able to go back to those books that made me a reader and say, like, there are problems with these books. Like,
of course.
You know, but there are problems with every book. In 20 years, people are going to go, that's Sarah McLean.
Of course.
All these problems in her books.
Because hopefully we've, you know, gotten better.
I hope not the same kind of problems, but like, you know.
I wonder if, you know, in a couple years when we're on Fated Mate season 8.
You know what we should do? One season, maybe next season, we should both read. We should pick a book from our Break in Case of Emergency.
Yeah, right. Right.
And both read it.
Because I do think there's part of me that's almost a little, and maybe it's just like these pandemic times, like take the joy where you can, right? Yeah. Like there's always, you know, there's a lot of books on my keeper shelf. I listed probably at least 25 of them, and there's probably more if I really sat down to think about it. So I mean, like I said, reading Nighthawk brought me such joy. Why wouldn't I just, you know, read one of those Lorraine Heath today as soon as we get off the phone?
Yeah. It's interesting, right? Because then there's the other piece, which is like, I think about who I would call, like if I were going to list my favorite authors right now. And so many of them are newer authors, mm-hmm. right? With shorter backlists. But I think about like Kate Claiborne, who I think is the best of us. And that's not just because she's my friend.
I have Beginner's Luck is on my keeper shelf. I read them out of order.
Duck.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to need this one day. And I kept it.
Wow. That's amazing. That's really lucky. Because now she's my friend. And of course, I'm going to read all her books the second I get them in my hand. But like, what happens if I need one?
I've got one.
What if I'm 80 years old and Kate and I no longer know how to use the internet because it's something different and we don't talk and I need one?
I mean, it's true, though, right? So that's the other thing is, like, how does the keeper shelf evolve over time? And I wonder, are there things that I would have said around the keeper shelf 5 years ago that are just now, like,
yeah. Do you have people who right now, like, for me, like, Uzma Jalaluddin, her next book might break in case of emergency for me. Because I loved Aisha at Last, and I loved Hanakon Carries On. And so, like,
interesting.
There's a possibility for me. I don't know. I will have to suss it out when it comes. But like that one might break in case of emergency for me. But then I don't know because it's like
I would say the close
it's a different thing.
It's hard to tell. You're like, at what point is it like it's not 6 months later? But like here's an example. I really loved Jesse Mihalik's space, like I love sci-fi,
yes.
right? And I loved that series that started with Polaris Rising. She has a new one out. I've had it on my Kindle for a while, and I have not read it yet. And I think it might be that exact same feeling. Like, but what if I need it?
But what if I need it? But so maybe also there's like a rotating. See, now we're in a whole different world, but like maybe there's like a rotating thing. Like I might shelve Uzma's next book, but then when her fourth book comes out,
read the third one. Yes.
And then just always have one.
Yes.
Waiting.
Sure.
Well, just always be that person who's like, oh, I haven't read that one, but let me talk to you for 2 hours about all the other ones.
Well, I think one of the weird things about being and for you and I, like, right, like, I can get most books republication right now. I can get an arc of it, right?
Well, and that's terrible, too, in some way. I mean, it's great, but also terrible.
Right, because then you're like, I'm waiting for the next one while you're still waiting for this one. Or, right, so I think there's a lot of complicated feelings I have about how to manage those and some of them. I mean, like, listen, here's another interesting question. Is there an author you love that you cannot vault them? You just love them too much. And I would say for me, like, the Hidden Legacy series by Ilona Andrews, when that next book comes out, listen.
You're gonna buy it right away.
I have it, I will got to go home and read it. So there's some where I'm just like, no, I have to have it right now. Your books are like that. Christina Lauren's books are like that for me. Adriana's.
Kate. I mean, like, for me, yeah. But this is the other thing. It's all front, like, that's part of it. It's, like, front list authors who, like, I love. Like, Tracy.
Yes.
Like, here's my thing. I have read Tracy Livesey's book that is coming out in May. I read it last summer.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I going to do? For a year.
You're screwed.
I am really screwed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think, by the way, you guys, if you have not pre-ordered American Royalty, you are doing it wrong. Like, or get it. Get on the, if you read at the library, get on that library list right now. Mark my words, this book is going to be huge. It's so good.
So, yeah. Like, that's it.
So, I don't know. I think there's also a difference. I think for me, the Break in Case of Emergency list is largely filled with people, with the exception of probably, yeah, I mean, it's largely for me filled with people who I have read for a long, long time.
Yeah.
With the exception of Diana, right, who I just recently discovered. People who I know, and also people who I don't know. Like,
yeah, right.
And that's different for me than it is for a lot of people.
Sure.
But like,
sure.
Like, I also feel like Sophie Jordan, I have loved her books.
Sure.
For as long as she has been writing. She was not my friend when I discovered her. And now she is one of my very closest friends. So, like, she is somebody who for sure I would have in the vault. But
you can't have her in the vault because
I've read all her books. Right. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a curious thing. Tell us, but come to the website, fadedmates.net. Tell us what's in your Break in Case of Emergency vault. We'll have Kelly do something fun on Instagram. So maybe we can share around Instagram, those of you who are there.
Yeah.
We want to know what they are and why.
Why they're there. Yeah.
And maybe we should all get together this summer. We should do a thing in the summer where we all commit. Everybody, all of the Magnificent Firebirds commit to reading one of the Break in Case of Emergency books. And then maybe we could do a live or something.
That'd be really fun, like, where people talk about it. Yeah.
We figure out a way for everybody to get
because
together.
I love having the books in the vault, but I also want us to have the joy of, like, reading the book in the vault.
Yeah.
Because I did. And it was so great. God, it was like, like, you know, in Pulp Fiction where they open up the suitcase and, like, light shoots out of it?
Yeah. I feel like for this to work, Jen, you and I, like, it has to be voted on. They have to tell us when to read.
Yes.
I know you're going to make me read Winterbourne, so it's fine.
It might be those gorilla twins, though.
Oh, those gorilla twins.
Listen, how many times have people talked about the gorilla twins? And every time I'm like, I'm going to hold.
One of my greatest things in life, like, one of my greatest accomplishments is that everyone refers to that book as Gorilla Twins, and I'm the one who started that because I can never remember the titles.
Well, what a shock that we cannot remember the titles.
But no, I think you and I should let everybody vote on our particular list.
Yes.
And we each read whatever, and then everyone else just read one, and then we'll figure out a way to celebrate. Because the vault shouldn't stay closed the whole time.
The vault is for your joy, not just for your fear. It's joy, not fear, everybody. Also, it's a fucking pandemic. It's time to break open the goddamn vault.
Exactly. Like, if not now, when, you guys?
Right? Oh, listen. I hope Kate and Kara enjoyed this. This has ended up being really fun.
This
I know it was
really
a lot of banter, but...
Kate and Kara, thank you so much for donating to such an important cause. Listen, Haiti remains a mess. There are a lot of great organizations on the ground there that are doing good work. We will put links in show notes to the organizations that the Romance for Haiti charity auction. We will put links in show notes to the organizations that the Romance for Haiti auction was supporting. Yeah. and others. We'll ask Adriana Herrera, who is running that auction, if she has other thoughts about where we can give in Haiti. But Kate and Kara, this was a really fun topic. Anyway, this is Fated Mates, everyone. You can find us at fatedmates.net, where you can tell us about your breaking case of emergency romances. You can also find us on Twitter at Fated Mates and on Instagram at Fated Mates Pod. We are Sarah McLean and Jen Prokop, and we hope that you'll be back next week for whatever we have in store.